to 12. So let's hear first the living word of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So reads the word of God. Well, here we have, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, what's known as the Beatitudes. A number of short but profound statements from our Lord Jesus. It's a beautiful passage, the Beatitudes. There's an unsurpassed eloquence here. There's a unique simplicity about them. Each one is so clear and concise, and yet there's enormous depth and weightiness behind them. And we could be well entitled to spend a whole series of sermons on this passage. Many ministers have done so, and it would well repay our time. I discovered this last week that one pastor of a church in Florida has done exactly this, a series on the Beatitudes, probably a little longer than what I would imagine myself. He took sometimes 10 messages to cover one Beatitude. In total, his series on the passage lasted 70 sermons. 70 sermons. Now, I wouldn't go that slowly, I don't think, but sometime I'm sure we will come back to this passage and go through one by one the Beatitudes. This morning, I think it is helpful to look at the passage as a whole, and to step back a little and to take it all together. That's our plan this morning under three headings. Firstly, the pronouncement Christ makes. The pronouncement Christ makes. And by this I mean the very first word he says. That's the word that begins every beatitude, the word blessed or blessed. This is an enormously significant statement from the lips of Jesus. Remember, in his day, it's been hundreds of years since people have heard anything from God. Malachi was their last prophet, who was some 300 years before this event. And I wonder, a trivia question, I wonder if any of you know the final word of Malachi's prophecy. If any of you know the last word of the Old Testament, it's the word curse, the word destruction. And for years since then, there's been no communication from God. The last message has been a message of curse from Malachi. And here along comes Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. He's beginning his public ministry, and his first recorded sermon, his first real official bit of teaching. And what's his opening word? Blessed. Blessed. It's wonderful. His very first word in this sermon is about blessedness, the very opposite of curse. And I think we shortchange the Beatitudes if we just understand this word blessed to merely mean happy. I think that's a short-changing our understanding of this. And there's many who take that approach, of course. They would say, happy are the poor in spirit, happy are those who mourn. But it's not what Jesus says, really. He could have used another word that would say happy, but he doesn't. He uses this word that says blessed. And they don't mean the same thing, blessed and happy. For instance, happiness, that's a feeling we have, isn't it? And feelings change. Sometimes we're happy, but sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're a bit down. Sometimes we're worried. Sometimes we're excited. Sometimes we're sad. These are subjective feelings about how we feel about ourselves. Jesus is not talking about how we feel about ourselves. He's talking about how God views us. He's talking about how God regards us. This is a pronouncement, in other words, from heaven about those who are disciples of the Lord Jesus. They're blessed. Do you see? It's a verdict. It's an assessment of people. It's the Father's summary of their condition. Blessed. So it's much, much more than happiness. And if you think about it, there's many people in Northern Ireland today who would say they're happy. Perfectly happy, they would say. I've a happy home. I've a happy family. I've a happy life. But if their sins are not forgiven, they're not blessed. They're not blessed if their sins are not forgiven. So you can be happy and yet not be blessed. And alternatively, there are many Christians, and if you were to ask them today, well, are you happy today? Some of them may struggle to say, I'm happy. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not that happy. Maybe you're suffering and you have a great burden. And God says, well, if you're a Christian with sins forgiven, you are blessed. And being blessed, it's not tied to your feelings. It's not so tightly connected to your circumstances. You can be blessed even in the worst of circumstances. And so shouldn't we pause for a moment and just thank God for this pronouncement? Isn't it a mercy of God that blessedness even exists? It's not a fantasy. It's not a dream. There is such a thing as everlasting blessedness. Jesus says so. The pronouncement he makes. Then secondly, the person Christ describes. The person he describes. We do misunderstand these Beatitudes if we look at them as a kind of a step-by-step guide in getting to heaven. As if they're a roadmap to lead us into the kingdom of heaven. Because Christ is saying nothing in these verses about how to become a Christian. That's not his message, how to become a Christian. Rather, he's painting in this message. He's painting a picture. He's sketching a portrait, if you like, of those who are already Christians. The Beatitudes, they're a description of those who already belong to the kingdom of heaven. And he gives 8 characteristics, 8 Beatitudes, 8 brush strokes in his painting, if you like, that describe the person who is blessed. He isn't describing exceptional Christians. He isn't describing the spiritual elite. No, this is what every Christian is meant to look like. Every Christian, to some degree, should have these qualities. And every Christian, to some degree, should have all of them. They come as a unit, and I think that's why it's helpful, actually, to look at them as a unit. It's not that some of us are poor in spirit people, and then Jesus talks later about other kinds of people who are peacemaker people, know that they all come together And collectively, they describe the Christian. So we shouldn't look at them and think, well, I think I get 2 out of 8. Or we shouldn't say, well, I'm all right, I've got 6 out of 8. No, that the blessed person should demonstrate all of these qualities. To varying degrees, yes, but all of the qualities. They are a unified, single description of well-rounded Christian character. I'll say that again. They're a unified, single description of well-rounded Christian character. And we should understand, too, the person described here doesn't have these qualities by nature. These are not natural qualities. None of us are born like this. We don't have natural tendencies towards these things. For instance, when Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful," he isn't referring to the kind of person who's so very soft and sympathetic when they've a little bug in the house and they get a bit of paper and they take it out to the garden. And Jesus says, well, that sort of person, they're blessed, merciful person. That's not what he's saying. That's just the way some people are wired. Or when he says, "Blessed are the meek," he's not speaking of the kind of person who, just because of their personality, they would be very quick to give up their seat on a bus. That's just the way some people are built. No, they're not natural qualities here. We're not born like this. These are supernatural things described here. He's talking about qualities that are created in you by the Holy Spirit when you become a Christian. As someone has put it, these are the birthmarks of the children of God. The birthmarks of the children of God. These are characteristics of converted people. And every Christian should demonstrate all of them, if even at the very smallest degree. So when we go through them in a few minutes, we should be asking ourselves, do I see myself here? Am I this person? And the person who has these kinds of qualities, they will stand out from the world. Like they will stand out like a sore thumb. Because what qualities does the world admire today? What kind of people are held up in the world? Well, the world admires assertiveness, doesn't it? That strength, confidence. The world praises the self-made man, the self-made woman. The world holds up the people who have it all together. People with wealth, status, fame. And nothing could be more different than what we have described in the Beatitudes. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the ones who are pursuing after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers." Total contrast of everyone who's held up in the world. And so that in itself gives us tremendous opportunity for evangelism. The person who is described here, their life is going to be noticed. Their life is going to be so different, it will make an impact in the world. The person Christ describes. It's not some kind of super Christian. This is every Christian described here. And they will be remarkably different from the world. The person Christ describes. So the pronouncement, and then the person, and then thirdly, the picture. The picture Christ gives. So as I say, this is all one picture of the Christian. We're not going too far wrong, I don't think, if we consider the Beatitudes almost like an 8-piece jigsaw, which together give the overall picture of the Christian. And we want now to briefly look at each piece, just as they come, each in turn, and to try and appreciate something of the overall picture, and it's a flyby. We're really not stopping very long at any of these Beatitudes. It's worth clarifying from the outset that these are spiritual qualities here. When Jesus talks of the poor in spirit, he isn't talking about the poor in pocket. These are spiritual things. When he talks about hungering and thirsting, it's not a McDonald's to be hungering and thirsting. He has in mind. These are spiritual qualities of character before us. So number one, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. As I say, this is not a reference to material poverty. Rather, Jesus is saying, this man, this woman, this young person who is blessed of God, they recognize they are spiritually bankrupt before God. They're spiritually bankrupt, poor in spirit. They realize they're a sinner with nothing commendable to offer God. They have nothing in their spiritual bank account which earns them credit, which can buy any favor from heaven. They're poor in spirit. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. It's the spirit of the returning prodigal son who was emptied of all of his pomp and pride, poor in spirit. It's the spirit of the tax collector in the temple who beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what does Jesus say about such a person? Blessed are the poor in spirit, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, it's impossible to get into the kingdom of heaven without this quality. So we need to be honest enough in ourselves to realize, well, in and of ourselves, we're nothing. We have nothing. Poor in spirit. Blessed, Jesus says, are the poor in spirit. A second piece of the jigsaw, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. And again, it's a spiritual quality here. So you can't just go to a random funeral that's full of people mourning and you can't just pronounce all of them blessed. No, because this is another characteristic of the Christian. It's not so much speaking of Christians who have naturally heavy spirits. Some of us know what that's like, don't we? Some of us by nature are more melancholic than others. That's not so much what we have here. Jesus, rather, is speaking of the sinner who hates their sin. The sinner who bemoans their sin, who doesn't ignore their sin. They don't belittle their sin. They don't excuse their sin, but they grieve over their sin. And they mourn over it. And they mourn over the sin of others. You see, the Christian life isn't all joy and laughter. There is such a thing as Christian tears. I wonder if the trouble is too few of us weep them. Jesus says those who mourn like this, they're blessed. How? Because those who mourn like this, they'll know the comfort of being forgiven. They'll know the comfort of being forgiven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. It's one of the most confused of all the Beatitudes. Because so many people confuse meekness with weakness, as if we're called to be a spiritual doormat for people. But Jesus described himself as meek. Matthew 11:29. He said how he was meek and lowly of heart. So the one thing it can't mean weakness. Rather, a good definition of meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. Apparently, when horse trainers break in horses, in some places, they describe what they do to the horse. They describe the horse as being meeked. meeked. So they don't cripple the horse, they don't take away the strength of the horse, but they train the strength to be used in a controlled way. And a horse has been meeked. And as much the same way, if we're to be meek, it's not a weak quality. Actually, in a world like ours, it takes enormous strength to be meek. So a meek person is someone who thinks of others before themselves. Someone who puts other people first. Someone who doesn't insist on their own rights or needs or wants. Someone who's marked by gentleness and self-control. That kind of person, Jesus says, is blessed. Of course, the world thinks nothing of that quality. The world would say meek people finish last. Meek people, they'll get nothing. You won't get far like that, the world would say. Jesus says the opposite. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. The future inheritance of the meek is nothing less than the new heavens and the new earth. Heaven, you see, will not be possessed by the powerful and the ruthless and the manipulative. It'll be possessed by the meek. Blessed are the meek. The fourth quality, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So Jesus is speaking here of people with a compelling passion, a desire, a hunger in their life to know more of God and his righteousness. It's the kind of person who seeks first the kingdom and his righteousness. So he says our spiritual desire, it should be like an insatiable hunger. It should be like an unquenchable thirst. It's a sign of health, isn't it? If a newborn is looking for milk, if there's a hunger there, if there's a thirst, that's a good thing. And on the other hand, how troubling it is, how concerning, how alarming if a child has no appetite at all. And shouldn't it be much the same for someone who says they're a child of God? It's a sign of health. It's a sign of vitality. If there's a spiritual hunger, if you have an appetite for things of God, that's a good thing. If you have a spark inside you when it comes to receive the word of God preached or in your Bible reading, that's a good sign. On the other hand, if persistently over a long period, if there's no appetite, if there's no hunger, if there's no thirst for God whatsoever, let me tell you, that is not a good sign. That's not a good sign. It's a dangerous sign. It's not a sign of spiritual health in the slightest. Jesus says the person pronounced blessed, they're not like that. They are someone who hungers, who thirsts for righteousness. And that need will be filled. They won't be left starving. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The fifth beatitude, blessed are the merciful. The merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So some people point to this one and they say, well, aha, here is salvation by works. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So they say, well, if we want to receive mercy, we've got to do stuff. We've got to show mercy to other people if we are to get mercy. Well, that would not be the best way to approach this beatitude. Rather, Jesus is saying that mercy, being merciful, that's a characteristic of someone who has received mercy. In other words, if you're not a merciful person, you should question if you've ever tasted the mercy of God yourself. The blessed person, Jesus said, is someone full of mercy towards others because they know they've received mercy. They can't forget they've received mercy. People who know much of God's mercy, they will be merciful people. And ultimately, Jesus says, they will obtain mercy at the last, not because they've earned it, but because out of a sense of receiving it, they constantly show it to others. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. It's been well said, the heart of the human problem. It's not our surroundings. It's not our manner of education. It's not the way we were brought up. It's not our social environment. No, the heart of the human problem is the problem with the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem with the human heart. The heart, Jeremiah says, is desperately wicked. That's the problem. But for those who have trusted and believed in the Lord Jesus, a heart transplant has taken place. A new heart has been given. Those people who have cried out, create in me a clean heart, O God. And those people, Jesus says, they will seek continually to be pure in heart. They will seek to put sin to death. They'll pursue after holiness. Such people are blessed, he says. They will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That can be true here and now, imperfectly, of course. There is a sense in which the Christian can see God in nature and in the events of history in ways that a non-Christian can't. We can see God and his gracious dealings with us. One day, of course, so we will see face to face, spending eternity in his glorious presence. Blessed are those people, Jesus says, the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see, those who have been on the receiving end of peace, they will want to make peace here on earth. This is the person who wants to live at peace with people. In the church, they'll strive for unity and harmony. In the world, they'll try in their evangelism. They'll seek to bring unbelievers into a state of peace with God through the gospel. Evangelists are some of the greatest peacemakers on earth. Peacemakers in their efforts to bring people to God. Blessed people like this, Jesus says, will be called sons of God. In other words, they're bearing the family likeness. Children of the God of peace. Brothers and sisters of the Prince of Peace, blessed are the peacemakers. And then the last one, blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the persecuted. And this is the last one, and it's a little different than the rest. It's longer for one thing. Jesus expands on this beatitude. It's different in another sense because the rest of them, they've all been describing what kind of people we ought to be, poor in spirit. What kind of things we should do. Blessed are those who mourn, who are peacemakers. This beatitude is about something done to us. The order is different here. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You would think that the person who displays all these beatitudes in the world, you would think they would be one of the most accepted people in all the world. You would think someone who's meek, someone who's merciful, someone who's pure in heart, a peacemaker, you think they would be well accepted. But Jesus makes pretty clear, when we display these characteristics with the seven pieces of the jigsaw in place, we will be so unlike the world. The world will reject us and persecute us and ridicule us and insult us. The world will just not accept us as one of their own. And such a person, is not cursed, Jesus says. Such a person is blessed. Blessed are you when people persecute you for this. To them belong the kingdom of heaven. And with these eight pieces, these eight qualities, Jesus has painted wonderfully this picture of the blessed person, this portrait. And in a marvelous way, it's a self-portrait, isn't it? It's a self-portrait. It's Jesus we have here. Start to finish, these eight pieces of the jigsaw, it's Christ described here. And the burning question is, how much do we match up to this? Has he painted our picture? Has he painted my picture? Are we displaying these qualities in our daily lives? Even faintly, are we displaying them? It's this person upon which heaven pronounces blessed. It's this person upon which God smiles. It's this that brings heaven joy and delight. Now, it could be some of us are thinking, well, I'm not like this. I'm not like this. I haven't wept over my sin. I'm not a meek person. I like to have my own way. I find it difficult to show mercy. Peacemaker, well, I leave a lot of trouble behind, actually, and I'm constantly getting into arguments at home. God says you need to be changed. You need to be changed. It's the gospel that enables the Beatitudes to be your attitudes. It's the gospel that helps you to be changed into this image. Some of us, we maybe need to be born again. And then we need to keep on coming every day for daily grace for these Beatitudes. This is Christ's way. This is the sort of people we need to be. This is the sort of person who is truly blessed. Amen.